The Lord. Before I get into the word, does anybody else want prayer today? We'd be glad to pray with anybody that needs prayer. And if not, then I'll go ahead and get into this word. And I'm going to ask you all to stand up again, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, what's called the Lord's Prayer. And I had somebody ask me, said, could we say the Our Father every Sunday? Well, that's what they said in the Catholic Church, a lot of times. And, I don't believe you have to say that particular prayer every Sunday, but we're going to say that prayer, and I'm going to talk about that prayer some, okay? And we'll just start off. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about this prayer, and I'm going to share a few scriptures as I go along here. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to have your way here today. Lord, you laid this on my heart about prayer. I talked a little bit about prayer last week, and I talked about how that there was a lot of prayer that went forth for Peter when he was in prison. And I talked about how that when Peter showed up at the door of one of the ladies' houses there where they'd all gathered together and were praying, that Rhoda didn't open the door for him. And I prayed that, and what I said was, we need to make sure we open the door when God shows up. He said in Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me. And basically what he's saying, I'll come and have supper with you. I'll come in and we'll fellowship. I'll come in and we're going to have a wonderful time, is what he's really saying. And you know what? We have to realize that we have to open the door and be willing to open the door. And, the first part, Jesus told him in verse 9 of Matthew 6, 9 through 15, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And that word, after this manner, literally means in this way. It doesn't mean say this particular prayer, but it means to pray in this way. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, when you talk to him about him being your Father in the natural should be a nourisher, a protector, and someone who upholds you. Someone who is there for you. And when we begin to call him our Father, then we're saying, Lord, I believe you're going to nourish me. Because the Father in the natural should be one of the ones that's out there making the living to make sure that you got food on the table, you got everything that you need. He's a nourisher. And mother's a nourisher too in another way. She's a nourisher a lot of times of more showing the love and more showing the compassion sometimes than the Father does. But a protector, you let somebody mess with dad's kids and he ain't gonna like it, And a lot of times kids will make the statement, my dad can beat up your dad. you ever heard a kid say that? whether he could or not, they say it because they think dad can do everything when they're little. But, he's a protector and he's our upholder. He will hold you up. He will do everything he can to help you be successful and help you move forward in life, and which art in heaven. And we know that he's in the heavenly realms, but the heavenly realms are not way out there somewhere. They're right here in our midst. Jesus didn't go very far away when he went out of their sight. He just stepped into another realm. And I got news for you. His presence is here right now. The omnipresence of God is always with you everywhere you go because he's everywhere. And, then he said, hallowed be thy name. And, you know, I like that word, hallowed be, because I looked that up and I was looking at it, and it meant to, part of it meant to render or acknowledge, to be vulnerable, to hallow. You have to be willing to make yourself vulnerable to God. You have to be willing to confess your vulnerability. You know, without Him, you can't do anything. Without Him, you're in trouble. And you have to be willing to confess your vulnerability, you know. And, you know, some of the songs we sing really emphasize that at times. But we have to come to that place where we say, Lord, I've got to have you. I'm vulnerable without you, you know. And, you know, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, you know, in verse 20 of that verse of Matthew, it says, and when he was, well, it's actually in Luke 17, 20 and 21 is what it is. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, nor lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And you know, we're not waiting for his kingdom to come here on earth. We're wanting his kingdom to come within us. And the way his kingdom begins to come within us is when we begin to ask him to sit on the throne of our lives. And we begin to acknowledge him as being the king. And you know, when it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, One of the scriptures that the Lord showed me a long time ago, and it was part of what began to let me know about the sovereignty of God when I first got saved, was in Ephesians. And I love the book of Ephesians because it's a wonderful book. And Ephesians 1, 4 through 14 says, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, and then it says, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you know it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? His word declares that. It's his good pleasure, you know. And it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. You know, he's talking about good pleasure there two different times right there. And you know what? It's his good pleasure that he's received you as his children. It's his good pleasure. You know, I hope this doesn't sound off color, but you know, when my children were conceived, it was our good pleasure to conceive them children. I mean, it was. I mean, I'm being honest. And you know what? When God conceived you, it was his good pleasure. I mean, he got pleasure out of knowing what he was going to do in you, out of the seed of the Word of God that he put in your heart. And that seed can only bring forth one thing. Each seed is after its own kind. You've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And you know what happens with a seed? A seed can only bring forth what it is. And if you have a seed of the Word of God, guess what it can only bring forth? God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations. Like it says in Colossians, but now is made, and I love what it says in the Philips, as clear as daylight. And you know what? It's his good pleasure. And it says, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things. How many things is all things? All things. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. You mean he's going to gather everything in himself? Yes, he is. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, wait a minute, Oscar. You say he works all things after the counsel of his own will. We were talking back there in Sunday school. I was listening to people talk. Sometimes things happen to you in your life that you think, how in the world could this possibly have anything to do with God? You know, and we look at it and we say, oh God, here we go again. This is horrible. But I'm going to tell you that according to him and according to what this word works, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And you know what that means? That means that everything that happens to you, around you, and everything else, he's in control of it all. That doesn't mean that you should always just say, oh, praise God, I'm glad I'm sick, or praise God, I'm this or I'm that. No, you won't always feel that way. But I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to acknowledge him in spite of what situation's happening or what, in spite of whatever's going on in your life, then that's when all of a sudden you'll gain a surpassing victory, and you'll begin to walk in a victory that will mystify people around you, you know. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, and whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom also after you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And you know, when it says that you were sealed, that word for sealed there literally means like to stamp with a signet ring. And you know what? In olden times, when the king wanted something done, and wanted to make a proclamation or whatever it was, after he wrote out the proclamation, he would pour wax on there, and he had a signet ring, and he would stamp that signet ring. And then whoever took that proclamation, wherever they went, they had all of the authority and all of the power of the king. And I got news for you. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have all of the authority and all of the power that Jesus had as long as you move according to his will and do what he tells you to do. And that's why a lot of times whenever God asks you to do something and if it seems kind of crazy to you, maybe he asks you to go pray for somebody that you don't even know, or you're in a restaurant or something and you feel like the Lord wants you to go over and pray for somebody, guess what? You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if you're obedient, God will do something. Whether you get to see it or not, he will do something. And don't always think that God's going to let you see what he's going to do, because sometimes he doesn't let you see. But I tell you what, whatever he bids you do, go and do it, and know that you've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and that power and that authority just went with you. And he's the one that will wield that power and authority in that situation. And that next verse says, give us this day our daily bread. You know, Jesus said in John 6:51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For the life of who? The world? What does that take in? Doesn't that take in everybody? The whole world? Okay. You know, one time, and I've shared this with you before, one time years ago, I was sick, had the flu, and I was pretty sick. And the Lord had spoken a word to me when I was out in the assembly, before I got sick, and he had spoken the word Anak to me, you know, and I didn't know who Anak was. I'd never read anything about Anak in the scriptures. I had no idea who it was, but he spoke the word Anak, and I've learned that when God speaks something to you, write it down, especially if you don't know what it is. Write it down, stick it in your Bible, and hold on to it, because if you do that, later on, He'll open something up to you that you've never seen before. And this was probably about 6 or 7 months later, maybe. I was sick. And when I was sick, I had the flu. And I've only had the flu maybe once or so in my life. And I couldn't hardly raise my head up off the pillow. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to study the Word. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. I got my Bible open, and I flipped it open, and I found that piece of paper, and it said Anak. I said, okay, and I felt like He wanted me to look into Anak. I got my Strong's Concordance out, and I looked up the word Anak, and I found it was in Numbers, the 13th chapter, when the people went over to spy out the land. And when they went over to spy out the land, it said that all the sons of Anak were there. The sons of Anak were the giants in the land, because Anak was the father of all the giants in the land. And I looked up the word Anak, what it actually meant, and I seen that it meant a chain about the neck. It also had the connotation of a stranglehold. And I thought, what does the giants in your life, when they happen, do to you? They want to strangle the life out of you. I mean, it can be a kid, it can be a job, it can be sons, it can be daughters, it can be anything like that. When it's just something that you have no control over, and it just literally drains you sometimes. You just feel like, oh, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? I'm just undone in this situation. But, you know, the funny thing about it was is that when the Lord began to give me this message that, you know, I felt like I was going to speak when I went to church that Sunday morning. And Brother Eddie was still the pastor of the church then. And I was half expecting him to say, Oscar, come up here. I know you got something to share. But he didn't. So I didn't share that Sunday morning. But I went home. And me and Margaret used to be in the habit of, after we'd go home from church and after we had had lunch, we'd go lay down on the bed and a lot of times take a nap or whatever. And we was laying in there and it was getting a little later and all of a sudden the phone rang. And it was Sister Audrey. And she said, Brother Oscar, she says, Brother Eddie's sick and he can't make it to church tonight. Have you got something you could share? She said, I felt like the Lord said you did. And I just smiled real big because I knew what God was doing. And I said, yeah, Audrey, I said, I've got something I could share. And I came and I shared that story about Anak. And what was happening at the time that brought all this about, Margaret was going through a situation where she kept feeling like she was choking. She kept telling me, I just feel like I'm choking. I feel like I'm choking. Well, Margaret is the kind of person that if she gets it, she, any of you all, if you have problems and she knows about them, she takes it to heart and she prays for you guys. And she really takes it to heart. I mean, she really does. This old guy that lived next door to us, he hadn't been coming out to go eat. He lived by himself, and she noticed that. And she used to go over and clean off his walkway every day, every time it would snow, and all this kind of stuff. And you know, he was really old, and she'd see him walk up the street to go to the hitching post that used to be on the corner of our street to get something to eat. Well, she hadn't seen him in a couple of days, and she got concerned about him. And she went over and beat on his door, and nobody answered. And she went to the back door and kind of beat on the door, and she heard him moaning in there. Well, he'd fell and broke his hip. Well, she hadn't checked on him. He'd laid there and died, you know. And anyway, they put him in the nursing home, and he had a bunch of relatives that came around, we lived there for a lot of years, and we never saw any relatives ever come and visit him. But all of a sudden, they starts coming around, checking the house out and seeing what was there. Well, he had a lot of P&G stock and stuff like that, we come to find out. Well, and the priest, he had a priest in his family. Well, the priest showed up. Well, the priest got his 57 Pontiac that he had in the garage, which was pristine because he never drove it. And it was like brand new, a 57 Pontiac, you know. And the priest ended up taking his 57 Pontiac, and he laid up in the nursing home. Well, he died, you know, he ended up dying. But she just kept saying, I just feel like I'm choking, I feel like I'm choking. And I know what it was the fact that she felt like they were doing him wrong. They had just shucked him off to get rid of him. And here he lay, ended up laying up there, and he died in a nursing home not long after that. And what I'm telling you is that to her that was a giant situation, because she doesn't like to see anybody taken advantage of or mistreated, or and she actually, it actually really bothers her when she sees that. And, you know, it was a giant situation. But as soon as the Lord began to bring that to, about Anak to me, I knew exactly what was wrong with her. Because she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, says, there's nothing wrong with your throat. Said, it must just be emotional or something like that. Well, that's what it was. I mean, you know. But she felt like, she kept saying, I keep feeling like I'm strangling. I feel like I'm strangling. When I read that name, Anak, it was the father of all the giants in the land, and it was a chain about the neck, a stranglehold. And sometimes you might feel like that concerning loved ones, family members, whatever it is, where they're just strangling the life out of you with the things they're doing. And you can't do anything to change it. You know, yourself. You've tried, you've done everything you can do, but you can't get it to change. But I tell you what, God can. But anyway, what happened there is after they went over and spied out the land, they came back, and it was Joshua and Caleb, and there was 12 of them. 10 came back with a bad report. 10 is the number for law and responsibility. Rich mentioned that back in the Sunday school class. 10 is the number for law and responsibility. How many commandments were there? 10. It was the law. And you had a responsibility to try to live up to every one of them. And guess what? You couldn't do it. I don't care how hard you tried. You cannot keep the 10 commandments. If you tried until you're blue in the face, you will not succeed. And Scripture says if you miss in one of them, you're guilty of them all, basically. But what God was doing was he was showing us the exceeding sinfulness of sin and wanted us to realize that we couldn't do it on our own. We had to have him. It had to be by grace and grace alone, and that's the only thing it could be by. But anyway, as I looked at that, the 10 gave a bad report. And then it says, and Caleb stood up and he talked. And Caleb, and Joshua was with him, but it doesn't say really a whole lot that Joshua did a lot of the talking. Caleb did the talking mainly. And Caleb means forcibly. The Scripture says that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, you have to have the attitude of God, I got to have you. I'm going to do everything I can to get you. I got to have you. I have to have you in my life. You know, when you have that type of attitude, look out, because he's going to come into your life, and he's going to come in there strong. But anyway, what happened there was, you know, they part of the testimony that they had, they said, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. Now, if you go around with a defeated attitude all the time, everyone around you is going to look at you and say, they're defeated. Look at them. They're a Christian. If that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one of them. They ain't happy. They ain't joyous. They ain't got anything I ain't got. They're complaining all the time. They're mumbling and grumbling all the time. You know. We were as grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. Wow. Think about that. The way you view yourself a lot of times has a big a big, well, determination on how other people view you. You have to view yourself as more than a conqueror, a king and a priest unto God. You have to view yourself as the head and not the tail. You have to begin to view yourself how God sees you and what His Word declares about you, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. All things, not a few things, but anything that God asks you to do, you can do it. And so many times we'll say, oh, but God, I can't do that. I can't do that. But anyway, there was a difference there. And Caleb, when he spoke, he said, we're well able to go up and take the land. He said, God has delivered them into our hands. And he made the statement, and I've told you all this before, but he made the statement and he said, and they'll be bread for us. Now we prayed and said, Lord, give us our daily bread in this psalm, in this prayer here. Give us our daily bread. Well, sometimes your daily bread is a bunch of tribulation and a bunch of other things coming against you. But I'm going to tell you what. If you view yourself like Caleb viewed them and said, no, we're well able to go up and take it. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm not going to give in to this sickness. I'm not going to give in to this problem. I'm not going to give in to this trouble. I'm going to claim your victory in this situation. That situation, a lot of times, will become bread for you. You'll grow by leaps and bounds. And I told you when the Lord showed me that, He brought back to me that when I was a little kid. And they still sell it, and I've only saw it so far at Walmart's, I think. Wonder Bread. And it's not real popular, I guess, anymore, but they used to have TV commercials on, and they'd say, Wonder Bread builds strong bodies in 12 ways. 12 in Scripture is the number for governmental perfection. And I'm going to tell you what. When you start eating the wonder bread of God, which is Jesus Christ and His nature, and begin to start claiming who and what you are and what God says you are, not what your situations and circumstances say you are, then all of a sudden you're going to find that you've grown from this size up to this size. And that's the way it was. When that little kid would take a bite of that bread, he'd be about this tall. And the next thing, he'd be this tall. He'd take another bite of that bread, and he'd be this tall. And he'd take another bite of that bread, and he'd be this tall. Next thing you know, he was a full-grown man. You know, God desires for you to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is? It's Him. He wants you to grow up into Him. He wants you to grow up and and when people see you, guess what? They see Him. And when we see Him as He is, Scripture says, we'll be what? Just like Him. Just like Him. Not a little bit like Him, not sort of like Him, not like Him once in a while, but like Him all the time. When we see Him as He is. And what we have to realize is that He won a surpassing victory on Calvary. He was the bread that came down from heaven. And buddy, when we eat of that bread and partake of that bread on a daily basis and have that fellowship with Him, we're going to grow by leaps and bounds. And after a while, that's why Jesus could say, when they said to Him, well, show us the Father, and when He prayed about them being one, they said, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient. And He looked at him and He says, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? I've been with you all this time and you don't know me. You don't know who I am. When you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. I got news for you. You're going to be able to proclaim as you grow up in Him, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Because He was the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, many brethren. He said, Father, the glory that you've given me, I've given it to them. Who's them? Hello, them. That's you. You have to start claiming that you're them. Until you start claiming that you're them, you'll walk in a false identity. You'll walk below what He called you to walk as. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, our debts, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, our debtors, either one, it depends on which one of the ones you read. You know what? If you don't forgive other people, God can't extend His forgiveness to you. Jesus gave the ultimate forgiveness. When He hung on the cross, they had turned Him over to be beaten, scourged, mistreated, stoned, everything else they could have done to Him, I'm sure. We don't know what all they did to Him. I mean, we know that He was beaten. There's a scripture that says His face or whatever, countenance, was marred beyond any other man's. Have you ever seen what some of these people do to people, how bad they beat them? I mean, they could be pretty bad. But He said He was beaten worse than that. The worst one you could ever see, He was beaten worse than that. And when He hung on that cross, what did He say? Not only that it's finished, but I like the other part He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And you know what the Father did? He forgave them. You're right. And you know what? We have to ask the Father in us to forgive them. When we have a hard time forgiving somebody, say, Lord, I can't forgive them in my own strength, but You can in me. I can move through Your forgiveness and I can forgive them. Because, Lord, everything that happened to me, no matter how bad it is, no matter how terrible it is, and it can be terrible, no matter how bad it is, you know, You use that all to help bring me to You, to help get me where I am today. You know, when I was a kid, me and my brother used to fight pretty much. And, you know, I had a really bad temper. And God has really calmed me down a lot. And I don't think I have a bad temper. Margaret probably would disagree, but I don't think I have a bad temper. I think I'm too easygoing most of the time. But but me and him would fight. And, you know, he knew how to push my button because I'd had, you know, I told you guys when I was a kid I had epilepsy. And, you know, I had it for 3 years, and then God healed me from it. But I had to walk out of it by faith. And, you know, and I did. I walked out of it by faith. And he knew how to get to me. Because whenever he was wanting to get to me, he would make fun of me for having the epilepsy. He would call me names and stuff like that. And boy, the fight was on when that happened. I mean, I'd go after him. And he was bigger than me and older than me, and he outweighed me by about 40 pounds back then. And a lot of times he'd run off from me because he was getting a kick out of tormenting me. And he'd run off. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a wonder I didn't kill him a few times. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I threw butcher knives at him. I did all kind of stuff. I did some bad stuff. I mean, he'd get me so wound up, I would totally lose it, you know. But guess what? Later on in life, guess where the Lord planted me? Working with my brother every day. And he had made a lot of promises to me, and he didn't totally fulfill them all. So every day, and I worked with him for about 20 years, every day for about the first 5 or 6 years, I would be okay and I'd be praising the Lord, and then something would flare up inside of me. And I'd get so daggone mad I couldn't hardly stand it. Couldn't hardly stand it. And a couple times I come close to jumping on him physically, you know, because he hadn't really fulfilled his promises to me. But the Lord calmed me down. And you know what? That was all part of God's plan for me. What does Scripture say? The thing you feared the most came upon you? That's all God's doing. The thing that aggravated you the most, guess what? It's going to come upon you. I worked for a guy in a company, and I told you this. I worked for a guy in a company. Guy could push every button in me because he was rude. And I would catch a mistake in a part, and I would take it to him. This is another company that I worked for. And I would take it to him to stop it, to keep it from going on farther down the line and getting to assembly, and then they'd have a whole bunch more money tied up in it, the company. And his reaction would be he'd snatch the print out of my hand and a lot of times throw the part in the floor and go off cussing. Well, that'd get all over me. I mean, I'm honest. I mean, just telling you the truth, I wanted to punch him in the nose. I don't know how many times. And I come a hair doing it a couple of times. I mean, I really did. But it wasn't only me. Most of the people in that department couldn't get along with him because he had a really bad attitude, you know, bad attitude. And one time I finally got fed up enough to where I bid out of that department. And I've shared this with you before. I bid out of that department, went on the night shift. Well, I was in another department, and then they asked me if I'd go on nights to do this particular job for them. I went on the night shift, and guess what? He was the day shift foreman. Guess where he came? On the night shift. On the night shift. Well, you know what I found out after a while? He couldn't push the buttons no more. See, it wasn't him. I'd pray, oh, God, change Bill, God, please change Bill. He didn't change Bill. He changed Oscar. So if you've got a situation to where to where you got some debtors in your life and you're not willing to forgive them, you got to get willing to forgive them. And you got to get willing to put it in the past. Because I'm telling you what, you won't advance very far in God until you do. You got to do it. And you can't do it in your own strength a lot of times. You have to pray and say, Lord, please help me in this situation. You know, I can't do this. But you know what? He can in you. He can. Praise God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, in Matthew 18:32-33, it says, when the king called in a man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? You know, sometimes I've noticed that people who get in situations to where they've been mistreated, if they're not careful, they turn around and mistreat somebody else. You know, that happens a lot of times. But I just want you to know that you can overcome in these things. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. And we all have some weaknesses in this area. I don't care who you are. We all have some weaknesses in this area. You have somebody that you just think, man, I just can't forgive that person. But you know what? Your next task in God before you move on very far is going to be to forgive them. And I don't care what they've done. They might have done the most horrible thing to you in the world. But until you're willing to forgive them, you can't receive the full forgiveness and the full, I'm going to say the full lifting up of the Lord inside of you. You'll kind of hang right where you are for a while. And boy, that's not a fun place to be. And the next one said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Clyde will love this. Therefore, this is 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. Therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. He said his mother said that to him a lot. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes when you think you're standing too good on your own, guess what? You're getting ready for a big fall. The next verse says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make an escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what the escape is? His name is Jesus. That's the only escape. And until you look to Him in everything, you know what? You're not going to be able to escape whatever situation you're in. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Luke 12:32, Jesus said this, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure. That's another one of them pleasure things, you know. It's His good pleasure. He stands back and smiles. I'm giving you the kingdom. Take it. Get a hold of it. Move in it. Function in it. Romans 8:14. This is out of the Phillips New Testament, and I'll be done here in just a second. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are God's own sons. You were not meant to relapse into an old slavish attitude of fear. You have been adopted into the very family circle of God, and you can say with a full heart, Father, my Father. The Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction that we really are the children of God. Think of what that means. If we are His children, we share His treasures. And all that Christ claims that's His will belong to all of us as well. Wow. That's an inheritance, folks. Yes, if we share in His suffering, we shall certainly share in His glory. He said, I'll not give my glory to another. You're not another. You're not another. Romans 8:18. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared to the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because God and His purpose, it has been so limited. Yet it has been given hope. And the hope is that in the end of the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. The whole of created life. How much is the whole? It's all of it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And you know, when we think about the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, it's just an outline for us to know how to pray. That's all it is. Acknowledging Him as Father, you know, knowing that He's our source, knowing that He's taking care of us, knowing that no matter what's happening in our lives or happening around us, He's aware of it. He's allowed it. Oh, but God, you can't be allowing that. Oh, yeah, He can and He does. And you know what? When it gets to the point where that thing that's been irritating the life out of you for years don't irritate the life out of you no more, guess what? You will have took a big chunk of that bread and eat it and grow a little bit bigger in God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I just come into Your presence right now, Lord. I ask You to help us all to just realize, Father, that no matter what's happening in our lives or happening around us, that, Father, it's all about You. Help us to quit being hateful and saying ugly, hateful things about people. Help us to get to the point where we bless and curse not. That's what we're called to do, bless and curse not. You know, we claim that we're part of the Melchizedek priesthood order. The Melchizedek priesthood order was a priesthood of blessing. It blessed. It brought forth bread and wine. Help us to bring forth the bread of God to other people as we come in contact with them. And help us to bring forth the wine. And like I've said before, You don't see many sad winos. They're usually happy. They're usually joying, and they're really, you know. And help us to bring forth the wine of God, the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. And praise God. When people see you in a joyous situation, when you should be in, which in the natural you should be in a sad situation, I'm going to tell you what, it has an effect on their life. It'll have a big effect. I told you about the big guy I used to work with, and he could have stepped right out of a wrestling magazine. He was a big dude, and he was a fighter. He was always getting in fights over in Hamilton. we had him as a truck driver, and you know, we had to let him go eventually because he kept wrecking into people's toolboxes and stuff on the forklift truck and stuff. I mean, we was afraid he was going to hurt somebody because he just was not didn't have no finesse, you know. But you know what? He came to me a couple of different times and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, he says, "How come you don't get all worked up every time something happens?" I said, "Well, it's because of the Lord." I said, "I have to just trust God, you know." And I said, "You know, he's the Prince of Peace." And I said, "You can have that peace in your life." He says, "Man, I really want to have that." And he started trying to go to church. Now, I don't know whatever happened to him. I haven't seen him in years. But I like to believe that the Lord really got a hold of him. Because he was illiterate. He couldn't read. And I think that because he was a big guy, he felt like that when anybody said anything to him or messed with him in any way, he had to beat him up, you know. And he could beat him up. I told you, we sent him over to one of our customers one day, and this one customer, he's kind of a smart aleck a lot of times, and we sent him over there, and he called me up, and it was the first time we sent him over there, and he says, "My God, where'd you get that guy?" Because he had skull tattoos all over his arms, and he had arms about that big around. He was a big guy, I mean, you know. And and I told him, I said, "Well, all I got to tell you, or make sure you pay your bills on time." I was just messing with him. He says, "Yeah, well, I will." You know. But anyway, praise the Lord. Father, just thank you for your words. They are spirit and life. And help us to move into really learning how even to pray, Father, to know that you're in control and that we're going to move and flow with you, and that you're the one that's in control of everything out there. And whatever situation you've got us in right now, help us learn to even praise you right in the midst of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Go and have a wonderful dinner. Father, just bless the food in Jesus' name.